Well, if you got a Bible, go ahead and start to get to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be looking in that scripture. But for most of you, I would believe most of you guys come here to Calvary. We've been in a series called Technicolor Joy. We're in the book of Philippians. For those of you that don't come to Calvary, we've been talking about the subject of joy. However, in that book, for the past 2 weeks, a theme has been coming out. And that theme has been pride and humility. Pride and humility. And I'll just kind of read you a couple of quotes that Pastor Skip, our senior pastor, has been talking about. You've never been more of an enemy of God when you are filled with pride. The quickest road to joy is humility, and the quickest road to unhappiness is pride. Another one is, the more you do as you please, the less you will be pleased with what you do. You're never more like Satan when you're selfish, and you're never more like Jesus when you humbly serve. Pride makes God your enemy, but humility makes him your friend. So these are the themes that have been coming out of our weekend services, and we want to apply that here as men today. So pride, you know, the scripture says that he who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Many of you have heard that. And as men, I believe that in no greater arena or no greater battlefield does this take place than in the marriage, in the home. No matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, I'm almost certain that you struggle with pride. I struggle with pride. I probably will to the day I die. But the scripture can help us with that. It can minimize the pride that we allow to manifest in our lives and in our marriages. I was talking with a brother earlier this week, and we were talking about marriages, especially in the church. Marriages are under attack, and the statistics show that, not only in the world, but also in the church. The divorce rate in the church is just as high as it is in the world, and we know that marriages are definitely under attack, and we want to rectify that among this body today. So even if you're not married, and even if you're single, marriage still affects you. You probably were conceived out of a marriage. Some of you weren't, but most of you were. Some of you, or actually all of you, have people who you know who are married. So this does affect you. God created the family unit as the foundational human institution. He created it with Adam and Eve. So it has an effect on our society. Marriages produce children. Children grow up in a society. They get married, and the cycle reproduces. But if you look at the news, you look at all of the problems that we have in our society, it's a product of a broken marriage or some factor where something went wrong in a marriage, and it has produced problems in our society with the human beings. So it's important for us to know these things. It's important for us to be educated on marriage and the roles of the husband and wife. And it's scriptural. The Lord teaches about it in many portions of scripture. And we know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we need to know this scripturally so that way we could be complete and equipped for every good work. So again, we're in 1 Peter chapter 3. Is everybody there? All right. So I want to go to verse 7. We're going to start off in verse 7. And it says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, that being the wife, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So if you read that verse, you may be thinking, well, there's got to be something before that because of the way the sentence is structured. You see words like likewise, and you see words dwell with them. So what is Peter getting at here? Well, I want to first start off on the subject of dwelling with them, dwelling with our wives with understanding. So before we can hone in on that understanding, I want you to go to verse 1 of chapter 3. And it gives a little bit of information and instruction for the wife. It says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in the former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So I thought it was interesting that Peter here, he gives six verses as instructions to the wives. When you read in verse 7, it's just one verse, and he's giving instructions to the husband. But he says, we need husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. Now, that word understanding in the Greek also can be translated as knowledge or intelligence. So I want to camp on this word here this morning for a while. We want to dwell with our wives with understanding. And we want to do that according to Scripture. So how many of you here are tradesmen? Just raise your hand. Who's electricians, carpenters, you know, many of you. So when you go to learn a trade, you know, you're given a manual, you're given a standard by which you are to be licensed and by which you are to operate and to work as. And it's no different in marriage. In marriage, we are given a standard by which we are to operate as Christian men, and that's Scripture. So we're supposed to dwell with our wives with understanding according to the Scriptures. Now, there's plenty of places in the Bible where God gives us instruction on marriage. First Peter just happens to be one. But we got to ask ourselves, how many times do we actually read it, learn it, and know it? Do we search the Scriptures to know exactly what our roles are in the marriage? And do we search the Scriptures and learn exactly what the woman's role in marriage is? And there's plenty of places for us to look. I just did a random Google search. I typed in Christian or biblical roles of the husband and wife in marriage. And just seeing if there's, you know, some weird stuff out there. Pretty much for the most part, the top searches were solid biblical areas where you can go into the Scriptures and search for the places where you can find what the roles of the husband and wife are. So it's available out there for us to learn these things. Just for reference, when you get home, you guys can look up Ephesians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and of course the Scripture that we're going to go over here today. So it's available. We need to understand what our roles are as a husband and wife. And the first one, again, being that we are to dwell with them with understanding. Now, I need to look at the word there, in the second word in verse 7. It says, likewise. So it's giving a word to show us that we are to likewise do something like somebody else. So if you reverse then back to verse 1, it says wives likewise, right? So we're going backwards here. So rewind to chapter 2, verse 18. It says, servants, be submissive. And rewind one more time to chapter 2, verse 13. Says, therefore, submit. So the trend here, which started in chapter 2 and is finishing up with the husband, is that word submission, submit, submit. So how many of you have been, who's a fan of the movie 300? Who's seen that movie? 300. Yeah, you don't lie. It's all right. It's all right. 300. So it's a movie about a warrior. You know, a lot of guys say, yeah, I like that movie. It's about, you know, the Spartans. And in that movie, it kind of gives us a picture of what pop culture tells us about submission. In the beginning of the movie, you have a Persian emissary. He's coming to the gates of Sparta, and he's telling the Spartan king, he's like, you know, King Xerxes needs you to submit to him. He needs you to basically submit to his will. And I watched it on YouTube yesterday just to get a little bit of a context, and the camera just focuses in on the king, Leonidas. And he's there, he's all ripped, and he says, that's going to be a problem, submission. So that's what our culture teaches men, that submission is a problem for us. That's what we learn through pop culture. But the Scripture's the opposite. It says, like I said, in verse 13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Servants, be submissive to your masters. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your husbands. And then it gets to that verse in chapter 7, or in verse 7, it says, husbands, likewise. So the context here is we are to submit to the understanding of our wives. Now, I want to read you a quote from John MacArthur. He kind of sums it up. He says, submission is the responsibility of a Christian husband, though not submitting to his wife as a leader. And a believing husband must submit to the loving duty of being sensitive to her needs, her fears, and her feelings. In other words, a Christian husband needs to be subordinate to a Christian husband needs to subordinate his needs to hers, whether she is a Christian or not. So the idea of submission for a husband is that we need to submit to her needs, put her needs above ours. And that's the context. And not submitting to their leadership. But a lot of men, and I'm sure a lot of you, we have struggled, or we see wives who kind of take the lead, and the husband kind of just submits to the wife, and they go along, and that's not the roles that we're supposed to have biblically. But many men struggle with this, and you may be one of those men. So we want to search the scriptures. We want to learn what the scripture has to say about our roles, but also we want to dwell with our wives with understanding about the kind of person that they are. And this is where it gets a little bit tricky. So our wives, they're human beings. They have backgrounds. So how many men here, and you don't have to answer this, have really taken the time to understand their wife, understand their background? And I'll give you a little bit of example. So understanding her background. Your wives have certain values. They were brought up certain ways. They have certain family histories. They have certain past relationships. And they have painful experiences that they've gone through. There are certain things that turn them on. There are certain things that turn them off. And so if we're to dwell with our wives with understanding, we need to take the time to understand what those things are. And I'll give you a couple of examples. So for example, values. Values. How many of you have read the book, The Five Love Languages. How many of you have read that? Okay. So, psychologists stating that most people have a love language. Words of affirmation, gift giving, quality time, so on and so forth. Well, your wife values certain things. And if you are not understanding what those values are, a lot of times we can miss the mark. For example, if my wife was a person who valued quality time, but I usually never spent time with her. I was out with my buddies a lot, or I was working here in ministry. I would be missing the mark, and I'm never taking the time to understand the kind of person that she is. So we have to understand them according to their values. Another one is their family history. And this is a big one. So in my family, our family history is a lot of times when we're at a family function and it's time to go, we get up and we say goodbye and we go. Now, in my wife's family, that's not the case. When it's time to go, we get up and we just start talking some more. And then it takes about 10 minutes to start making our way to the door. And then we got to go back because we didn't say goodbye to this person, so we're going to stay over here for about another half hour. And then we'll start to make our way to the door. And we get to the door, we're still talking, we're still hugging. And then we get to the car, and we roll in our windows down, we're still talking, and then when we leave, we honk the horn. So a little thing about this is when I first met my wife, I didn't understand her family background, and that's what they do. That's normal to them, and that's okay. In my family, we just got in the car and we left. So it took time to understand these things, and now that I can see that my wife values that, I can put her needs above my own and spend the time to say goodbye to family, to spend the time to value what she values and to submit to her needs as, hey, I just want to say goodbye to my family for an hour and a half. That's okay. That's okay. It's okay. So each of you have examples of what your wife values, what her family values are. Another thing I really want to focus in on is on past relationships. Do you understand your wife's past relationships? A lot of them can be painful. Maybe they came from a previous divorce. Maybe they had an abusive relationship. Many times when that is present in our marriages, we don't know, because we've never taken the time to ask, what pulls that trigger that gets her in a depressed state or gets her to overreact. There's certain things that we've gone through in our past relationships that we need to share, because triggers get pulled when we say certain things or we act certain ways, and it can bring up memories of past relationships. So that's another thing to be thinking about. And then painful experiences. Painful experiences. Do you understand the painful experiences that your wife has perhaps gone through? I.e., many women have been molested or raped. Are you aware of that? Many women have had relationships that have been torn by jealousy or torn by cheating. So understanding those things, you're understanding the person of who she is. So that's kind of the context of this verse. Dwell with them with understanding and intelligence. Now, I want to kind of give you an example of how we men do this in other areas of our life, but sometimes we fail to do it in our own, in our marriages. So who here's a hunter? All right, many of you. I like to go hunting. Now, I've met many men that in the beginning of the year, they get drawn and they're about to go hunting. Now, they begin to scout the area. They go over there. They learn the roads. They learn the patterns of the deer or the elk. They go on YouTube and they're watching all the hunting videos. They go to the store. They buy all this gear. They buy maps. They buy GPSs, and they plan their pretty much their year around this hunt. And they take a lot of time and investment to do that. I'm one of those people. I've done that before. But how many times do we do the same thing in our relationships, in our marriages? How many times do we take the time to study our wife, study her patterns? So just think about that example. And understanding that you guys are on the same team. Now, I'm going to challenge you that after this is over, I want you to go and interview your wives. I want you to interview your wives on this verse. How can we dwell with them with understanding? So as I was talking with my wife, I was telling her what I was going to be teaching on. I said, babe, I just want your perspective on, you know, how a husband can dwell with his wife with understanding. First thing that came out of her mouth is that we need to understand that we're on the same team. We need to understand that we're on the same team. So a woman's greatest need is that she needs to know that she's loved by her husband. She needs to feel that assurance and that safety that you're on the same team. You need to give it to her, gentlemen. You need to let her feel that protection. A small example of how this looks practically. How many of you are real punctual guys? I know I am. I like to be on time. So in an example where, say you're going to a wedding. Say you're going to your Tio Pancho's wedding, okay? And many guys, you can get ready a lot faster than your wife can. And so imagine you're there in the room. You're getting ready. You got to be there at 1:30 in the afternoon. It's 12:30, you're still getting ready, you guys have some time, 12:45's coming around, she's, you know, still getting ready, putting her makeup on, you know, 1 o'clock comes around, you're like, oh, it's getting a little tight, baby, maybe we should start leaving, 1:15 comes around, 1:17 comes around, 1:25 comes around, and you as the husband, you begin to get very impatient with your wife, you begin to ridicule her, you begin to just tell her and give her demands that we need to go. This is a very small thing, but this happens a lot. Punctuality. So how can we as husbands let our wives know that we're on the same team instead of ridiculing her? Because what we do, and this is something small, when we push our agenda onto them instead of being on the same team with them, that builds isolation. And in marriages today, isolation tends to be the number one divider of marriages. The Bible says that God created man and woman, and he made them, the two shall become one, right? So when we isolate, we work against becoming one, and that is the number one reason why we divorce in this nation, is isolation. So we have to commit to understand her and not to change her. A good way to handle the punctuality thing is maybe we tell our wives 2 hours in advance. Hey, babes, maybe we should get ready. We got to be at the wedding at this time. But the main thing to notice here is that this is a small thing. It's a small pebble. It's a small rock. But small rocks make a mountain. All right? So I want you guys to focus in on that verse. Commit to understand her, not to change her. Now, what about the man who knows these things? What about the man who knows who their wife is, understands their wife, but refuses to apply it. What about that guy? And that would be pride. That would be pride, gentlemen. Many of us fall into that category sometimes. We understand what our wife needs. We understand what she wants, but we refuse to provide that for her. And that's an issue of humility. It's an issue of pride. Psalm 31:23 says that the Lord fully repays the proud. And by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised there's wisdom. So in our marriages, if you're experiencing a lot of strife, it could be because of that pride, because you're failing or refusing to submit to her needs. All right. So I want you to go to the next verse, or actually part of the same verse, second part of the sentence. It says, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life. So how are we to give honor to our wife as the weaker vessel? Before we can bring honor to anybody, we have to come to the conclusion that we are all selfish individuals. All of us. Every human being. If you don't believe me, put two kids in a room, give them one toy, and see what happens. It's part of our nature. We're all selfish. So we have to come to that conclusion. Selfishness abides in us. All right? So before we can give her honor, we have to take that selfishness and we have to do something with it. Now, our culture promotes the 50-50 kind of culture in marriage, where we tell our wives, you say, well, if you do your part, I'll do my part. And performance is based upon that. So acceptance of my wife is based upon what she's going to do. And then if she does what I expect of her to do, then I'll do my part. That's selfishness. So giving is based upon merit, and motivation, my motivation is based on how I feel. So that's our culture's pattern. That's the selfish culture. So what I want to say to you guys today is, if that is what you are currently experiencing in your marriage, it's bound to fail. It's bound to fail. Because eventually, you're going to be focusing on your wife and what she's not doing instead of what she is doing. You're going to begin to focus on her weaknesses, and then the disappointment sets in, and then we begin to take revenge, and we begin to paralyze our own performance of what we're going to do. So that's the beginning of it. That's the selfishness portion of it. So if we're going to be honoring our wives, we have to rid ourselves of that. We have a natural tendency to do it, but we have to stop it. So here's some practical examples. When we make decisions, how many times do we involve our wife in the decision? How many times do we actually include her? I learned this lesson actually in the Marine Corps one time. We were on a training facility, and we were doing platoon attacks. And in a platoon, usually the platoon commander is seen as the father. The platoon sergeant is seen as the mother. And as I was beginning to plan the attack, I excluded my platoon sergeant because I was full of pride, full of selfishness. I wanted to win this competition that we had with the other platoon leaders. And so I planned the attack, we executed, we didn't get first place, and my platoon sergeant came up to me and said, sir, why didn't you involve me on the decision making? Why didn't you involve me on the plan? He said, we didn't use mortars, we didn't do the support by fire position, we didn't do all of these things. And I thought to myself, how foolish it was of me to not include him, my platoon sergeant, in my decision making. And I plugged that into my marriage. Whenever we make decisions, whether it comes to finances, whether it comes to children, how many times do we include our wives in those decisions? And I'll tell you, if you want to change your marriage, this is one area where I see, especially in counseling, is that husbands fail to do a lot. They fail to include their wife in the decisions because of selfishness. So going to the fact of we want to give honor to our wife, begin to do that. Another area is fighting fair. When we begin to get in disagreements with our wife, as many of you will, and if you're not married, then someday you may be, and you will get into a disagreement. I've noticed that we men have a tendency to elevate our voices, right? And that's a signal that we want to establish dominance in the argument. Think about that. When we fight, we elevate our voices to establish dominance. And when we do that, we fail to bring honor to our wives. Proverbs says that a soft word can break a bone. So when we begin to have these arguments, think about honoring your wife and keeping your voice at a minimal level. Now, the last part of this sentence says that your prayers may not be hindered. So we'll read the whole verse again. It says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So when we do these things, when we dwell with them with understanding, when we give honor to them, that promotes your prayers being heard. Now, in the context of this sentence, it talks a lot about the early church, in that many of them were married to unbelievers. And many of you here today could be married to an unbeliever. And your prayers aren't being heard for them to come to know the Lord because you're not applying these things. You're not dwelling with your wife with the understanding. You're not giving her honor, and therefore your prayers are not being heard. So I want to encourage you guys today, and we're going to be going through this table discussion, and that's going to be the meat of what we're here to do today. You have questions on your table, but again, I preface, many of you guys are struggling with your marriages this morning, and I want you guys to be sensitive to each other. What is said in this room stays in this room, and that's oh, also one other thing, your homework. Go and interview your wife according to this verse. Go and interview your wife according to this verse. See what she has to say. I did mine last night, and there were some things that came out that I wasn't aware of. So I want to encourage you with that today. We have a lot of time. We've got about an hour and 15 minutes of table discussion time. Feel free to use the bathroom, grab some more burritos, grab some more coffee. Thank you all for coming.